Time now to talk some rugby, and one of the real bright spots in Australian rugby in the last, well, I'd say 3-4 years has been the Shoot Shield. The local grounds around Sydney have been filling up with thousands of people on a Saturday afternoon to watch their local club play, and we're about to be joined by the chairman of Sydney Rugby Union. He's also president of the Warringah Rugby Club, Phil Parsons. Phil, how are you today?
Good, thanks, Jerry. How are you guys?
Going very well, thanks, mate. Just take us through, take us back a couple of months, and this is your first year, I believe, as chairman of the SRU. What a baptism, to say the least. Take us back a couple of months, and in those discussions, particularly around the broadcast deal and the fact that club rugby was seen as a real bright spot in the package that was to be sold to the broadcasters.
Certainly, it was an interesting time, wasn't it? So I think, well, we had a great deal. There's no doubt at all. We did a great deal, and we want to thank Raylene for that. I mean, Raylene comes under some harsh criticism at times, and I won't be talking to that, but we had a great deal with Rugby Australia, and it's still on foot. It certainly wasn't a reflection of the great product we have at the Shoot Shield. It's certainly still part of the mix for Rugby Australia and their broadcast arrangements going forward. And this year, we're, of course, working with Rugby Australia to bring it to life again. But it was a great reflection of our community and all the effort people put in, and the thousands of volunteers, I guess, that underpin our great game. And we're quite grateful for it. And then, of course, COVID came along and blew the whole thing up. So, but it's on foot still, and we'll be broadcasting the rest of this year.
Philip, how's it going to work with people coming to the ground to watch? Obviously, volunteers and, I guess, community feel around the Shoot Shield is so important. How's that going to look this year?
Yeah, I'm certainly that's one of the things we need to work through. So as far as, you know, the discussion about whether we play in stadiums or not, but there are two choices here. There's two options, it appears, and we're getting more clarity with this and everything else to do with COVID, as you're aware, as we move through the weeks. But we see two versions. One, 25% of our capacity, or social distancing. So either way, we will have spectators. I'm not sure that the president of Warringah, I have to work hard on that social distancing with my hillbillies over there in the hills. For all of us. So, we're very optimistic. And with the July 18 kickoff, lots will change with COVID by then. So definitely have spectators. What are the rules around those yet? We're still to find out.
And what will the comp look like? And will you have all grades, or is it limited to first and seconds, or first and Colts? How's it going to operate?
Great question, because this has been the poor lady that's doing our draw is having a terrible time with it. So I probably want to step back to where we've been. When we started off, we went into COVID, we weren't even sure where we were going to play. Like every other community sport and every other professional sport, we just didn't know if we were going to play or not. So now we've been through that huge period of flux. So we threw the invite out to invite other teams to join us, not knowing how many clubs we'd actually get on the ground. So if I started there, then we've had a great submission from Penrith and Newcastle. So the opportunity came along for us to say, well, it's a short season, let's try something different. So we have invited them in to join us. So this year we've got 13 clubs, and then we went, well, how are players looking? So it's mandatory to have first grade Colts, first grade and second grade, but then all the other clubs couldn't join any of the other competitions. So we will be playing seven grades.
Outstanding.
It looks like we've had a great journey, and the community's just screaming to get back to normality. And our start date, to me, I call it our social, it's a social commitment, our social license, a social contract to our community to get them back to normality, and we're playing our part in that. It's fantastic.
And I know Nick Fordham helped broker that deal to show the competition on Channel 7 in years gone by. Will that still be the case this year?
I'm working with Nick this year. There's a variation, and it has to be a variation in their broadcast deal. Nick is a great, Nick does great work for us. He's a great supporter of the Shoot Shield. I'm glad he's on my side. He's very passionate, and I know Nick will work with us to get the deal we need with Rugby Australia. We still have got to get through some detail over the next week of what that looks like. So it's just like all broadcast deals, it still needs to be worked through.
Phil, why do you think the Shoot Shield has become more popular than the Super Rugby franchises here in this country?
Oh, I have because in one way, it's earthy. And I mean that by kids sliding down hills on bits of cardboard, beers and pies with your mates. And they're closer to the game. They're closer to the talent. There's a backstory to players. The players live in their communities. We're very well supported by media like yourselves and our local print media, social media. They can really engage with them. The backstories are fantastic right across all the clubs. And when they get to the ground, they're waiting for those, we call those sort of moments of pleasure where it's not just always about winning. It's those memories that are created every day at all of our community grounds where there's some inspiring effort from somebody who's been a plumber all week, and all of a sudden he's dropping goals from 50 metres out.
And the key now is to harness what that growth has been, in particularly in recent times. In light of that,
yep.
What does the SRU and club rugby think about how the professional game should look going forward and where they should fit in it?
You know, I could get lost on this, and I don't want to be, and I'm a renowned gibberist, so I'm going to try.
Well, so are we. You fit in well here then.
Turn the pyramid upside down. You know, you drag players out of the shoot shield, they put them into singlet contracts, and they give them $35,000. And, you know, we think they go from the shoot shield, they're going into a good paddock, they're getting fattened up, and they're going to sell. But then, you know, it's just so difficult to transition between shoot shield and the professional game. And we need to, it's almost like we need to become semi-professional in a way. We need to pull them down and push us up. And there's got to be, we've got to meet in the middle somewhere. And I don't think it's just our code either. I think it's all the codes. They're top heavy. The cost of them is top heavy. And we need to get some dough down to the bottom. And we need to turn it around. So, you know, we need investment. I don't think, you know, there's almost, I look at Richmond in the UK as a model. They're semi-professional, Division 2. Players are paid, but they all work. And maybe in the future there's some sort of role that's the model that'll take us forward. But that's how we'll find that young talent. You know, you can't expect, I look at these guys and think, if he had a couple of years in a professional environment in a good paddock, we put 10 kilos on him, give him a living wage, I wonder where he would go, or that woman, or that young and warm lady, or wherever they are. But we have such a gap between there and the professional league. It's got to be bridged somehow.
Philip, how open is that door between someone like yourself and Australian rugby, though, for this type of communication? Do you feel like you can get to the people that you need to be able to have impact?
I certainly think, you know, we do have a voice at the table. I think, you know, oddly enough, it was quite good at the end of last year and the beginning of this year in COVID. Of course, the media deal really opened that door. I mean, we have the only community commercial arrangement with Rugby Australia. So the door was well and truly open. I think we'll get it back. I think it's just a change of management and flux of COVID. But what I struggle with is they all throw around the word community. Everybody does it. It gets used as a sort of mantra in all the sort of motherhood statements. But yet we haven't defined what community looks like. And I'm not sure how you bring that to life. So I'm looking forward to those conversations.
Well, Phil, it's been great to get an insight from you today, and we can't wait to see the shoot shield back on the screens on July 18. Thanks for talking to us.
No, thank you, guys, for your wonderful program and great support. Thank you.